Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 22, or 32 rather, Genesis 32. Don't want to go back that far. Let's bow together for prayer before I speak to you. Oh Lord, your word does have power when it is accompanied by your presence and your Spirit's power working in our hearts and lives. And the gospel is the power of God and the salvation for all who believe. And you are the great teacher of your people. And for us to even come to know you, you must draw us, you must teach us, we must have the heavenly teaching that will bring us to see the preciousness of Christ and the awfulness of our own sins. And even then, when we become a Christian, there are many issues in our lives that need your help and intervention for us to prove out the grace of Christ at work in our lives and to change us into your blessed image, O Lord Jesus, and likeness. So be with us, we pray, this morning. And take the truth and mold and shape your people's hearts with it this morning as the heavenly potter. And to make us moldable in your hands this morning so that we will learn to do your will. So we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to be reading to you from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. So follow me as I read these verses. Speaking about Jacob, and he's going to meet Esau, his brother, whom he hasn't seen for 20 years. The last time that he had seen his brother was very angry with him. And he was intending to kill him. And that's why his mother and dad sent him away to Haran to live with Uncle Laban. Which he did, and he learned many good lessons there. But follow me now as he is going to meet Esau again. This is the incident that takes place the night before. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. Well, there are some times in the life of every Christian, times when they are distressed and times when they are troubled by the fear of men, that they must come to have very personal dealings with God before they can receive God's blessing in the matters of their greatest concerns. Such was the position of Jacob that night before he met Esau and the 400 armed men that were coming with him. He had taken all the necessary precautions that he could think of against an attack upon his people by Esau. He had spoken politely to him. He had divided his relatives and servants into two groups so that if one of those groups was attacked, then the other group would escape. He prayed a very fervent and humble prayer in which he had pleaded with the Almighty, the God of his fathers, to deliver him from the hand of Esau because he was afraid of him. He had confessed his unworthiness to receive the least of God's mercy. He also prepared a very generous present for Esau out of his flocks, at least 530 head of livestock, animals, goats, rams, milk camels with their colts, and some donkeys as well. And he put these animals into a line of droves so that they would go on before him. And as Esau and the armed men would come toward Jacob and his companies, they'd be meeting all of these droves of sheep and donkeys and cattle and milk camels and all the things that are listed there for us that he had prepared. Jacob's a good example for all of us when we're in dangerous or distressing or difficult circumstances. We too must do all that we righteously can do to appease those who are angry with us if we have formerly committed sins against them. We are to pursue peace with all men, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, and the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. All this Jacob had done in preparation for the confrontation that was sure to come with his brother Esau. But there was something that Jacob was unaware of. There was something that he would become aware of very quickly, very suddenly, as he approached this critical meeting with Esau, when he was on the verge of entering the promised land once again. And it was this: he was going to encounter a person who he would really and physically wrestle with. The text says that he sent everyone on ahead across the fords of the Jabbok, and he stayed there alone. And it said a man met him, and they wrestled till the break of day. This wrestling, I believe, is given to us as a picture of what all Christians at some critical times in their lives have to engage in. Sometimes you and I do not understand that when we are trying to deal with situations of fear and distress in relation to other people, that we are actually wrestling with God. You and I may have fears. We may have great fears about some person or persons that we have encountered in our life. But you need to understand this morning that when these things come, that your wrestling really has to do with God and not with this person that you fear first of all. So what I'm saying is this wrestling is given to us as a picture of what all Christians at some critical points in their lives have to face and go through with regard to them and God in relation to situations of fear and distress, in relation to fear and distress in regards other people. You and I must understand that it is good for every Christian to have this learning experience of wrestling with God. The outcome of this wrestling will determine whether we will receive the blessing of God and prevail with Him to help us in our greatest difficulties with people around us. This is going to be the case with each one of us at certain critical points in our life. This wrestling will determine whether or not we're making progress in regard to our sanctification. It will determine whether we will be able to find peace with people who we need to be reconciled to. So what does it mean for the Christian to wrestle with God and to prevail in order to receive the blessing that he is seeking? I believe that for the Christian to wrestle with God and to prevail, he must learn to think about and to live out four godly techniques of wrestling, which may be learned from this father of our faith, Jacob. The first godly technique is your mindset. It's just you and God who will wrestle. Verses 22 to 24. The second godly technique is your stance, your moves. And you need to have a good defense and a good offense. Verse 25. The third godly technique is your objective, to not let him go. Verses 26 to 28. And then the fourth godly technique is your attitude in winning. Because Jacob wrestled with God and he prevailed. His attitude was one of joy and awe and humility. And so let's look at these techniques, these godly techniques that Jacob used in wrestling, one at a time here this morning. The first godly technique is related to your mindset. You must remember that when you come into any distressing or difficult situation, especially with regard to people you are having trouble getting along with, that really your being able to have a favorable outcome, the answer to your prayers and hopes, is first of all related to your wrestling through the matter with God. Do you see it that way? The reason I ask that is because I find oftentimes that what happens is that when people come into distress and difficulty with other people around them, for whatever circumstances, they tend to focus on the person who is giving them this problem, who is creating this problem, who has brought this problem into their life. And they tend to place all of their focus and all of their emphasis and their thoughts upon that person instead of placing their thoughts upon Almighty God and wrestling through the issue with Him. You do this wrestling in the thoughts of your heart, I'm saying. You do this wrestling by prayer to God in your thoughts. You do it in relation to your conscience, which should be convicting you of any past sins that you have committed against other people. But you must remember most of all that it is God that you have to do with in the first and foremost place. He is the one and the only one who Jacob wrestled with after he was converted. It says in verse 24, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Who is this man, anyway? Here this, in this verse, he's called a man. In Hosea 12:4, he is called an angel. Down in verse 28, this man declares himself to be God. He says to Jacob, for you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed. You notice how this wrestling match was with God alone, and it is linked to Jacob's wrestling with men. You have wrestled with God and with men and have prevailed. We don't read of him wrestling, physically wrestling, at any other point in the narrative of Jacob's life. But you do read of his having wrestled with Laban, with wrestling with Esau, all of the difficulties related to his own past sin in regard to Esau, stealing the blessing from him, being sneaky and conniving to get the birthright when they were younger. You see, and all of these things have come back to haunt Jacob at the very point now where he's going to meet his brother Esau again. In his prayer we studied the last time we spoke on this text, Jacob said, O Lord, deliver me, for I am greatly afraid of my brother Esau. It says that he was very distressed when he prayed that prayer. But you notice here that this wrestling match is not between Jacob and Esau. It's between Jacob and this man. This man that he's not really sure of when he first meets him. This was a very physical wrestling match that took place. This was not a spiritual vision. This was not a typical thing in significance to Jacob himself. It is to us, but it was not to Jacob himself. This was a wrestling contest, and he was just wrestling for his life. He didn't know who this guy was. This is how living the Christian life is as well. We believe when we are converted to Jesus Christ that we have come to know God. But do we really know Him? Do we really know Him as Jacob came to know Him that night when he wrestled with God, when he first started out wrestling and he couldn't figure out who this man was? You remember back at the beginning of Jacob's life, even before he was born, it says in chapter 25, verse 22, but the children struggled together, they wrestled together within Rebekah's womb. Jacob and Esau wrestling with each other even before they were born. And God had told Rebekah when she came to inquire of him about this, that two nations were in her womb. And the older would serve the younger. There were bigger issues in the birth of these twins than what Rebekah realized. These two were each to become the head of a nation of people, which would descend from them. One's descendants would become Israel, the nation, elect nation of God, through whom would come God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And the other would be a nation who would not be elect. Indeed, they would become the inveterate enemies of God, whom God would hate. Listen to Malachi chapter 1 and verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. It was God's purpose, according to election, that this was so. So will you not realize, dearly beloved child of God, that there are bigger issues involved in the major struggles that you have with other people in your life, and these struggles must be resolved in a way that honors God. That is going to mean that it will not be the way of your ordering and doing by which it will be accomplished. It will be God's way and His doing that it will be accomplished. This is the reason for this wrestling match. You further remember that Rebekah and Jacob, realizing the prophecy of the older serving the younger, that it would most certainly come to pass if they helped it along. They helped the prophetic promise along in order that it would most certainly come to pass, and they helped it along by deceiving Esau out of the blessing of his father. I told you in past sermons that this was not right. Jacob, whose name means supplanter or trickster, took his brother's birthright and his blessing away from him by unrighteous means. And so, Jacob, since he is one of the elect children of God, must be taught. And he must be humbled. He must be led to the place where he not only acknowledges this, but that he would repent of it entirely and learn the righteous way, the godly way to obtain God's blessing. So Jacob has come to this place. And God now knew that Jacob had learned his lesson in his time with Laban. That he doesn't need to be tricky anymore in order to get his blessing. But he would cause Jacob to realize just how much it would cost Jacob to bring about this blessing. And he would have Jacob to understand how much it would cost him, the Son of God, to bring that blessing to Jacob so that he could obtain it in the process of his sanctification. And that's how it is, beloved, with each one of us. We are entirely in the same position. We keep thinking that we can work our way through our Christian life by trying to bring about the fulfillment of every blessing in our life rather than being those who will wrestle through the issues of our life with God. The things that distress us the most. The things that create fear in us the most. The things that we cannot resolve personally and which hang on for years, maybe 20 years, and they are not resolved. The Lord is going to meet you at the fords of the Jabbok. And He is going to wrestle with each one of you who are true Christians here today, including myself. Now the second godly technique which we can learn from Jacob is his stance and his move. His stance and his move. Verse 25. You need to have a good defense and a good offense. Now I don't mean that there was any merit spiritually in Jacob that caused him to be able to prevail with God. But I mean to say that Jacob did have a natural strength and a cleverness and an ability to wrestle with God on the human level. He did his utmost as he was wrestling, using his natural physical strength to prevail with his antagonist. After all, Jacob didn't know who this man was as of yet. He perhaps thought at first it was somebody who had been sent to him by his brother Esau to take care of him once and for all. It could have been just a bandit or some other cruel wayfaring wanderer, but Jacob began to realize that this was no ordinary stranger after a while. Jacob's stance and his moves in wrestling were good. He was a man who had cared for sheep and goats all of his life. Perhaps he had fought with the lion and the bear as David had. I don't know. He had learned to care for the flocks. He had learned how to evaluate people as well. He had good strength in his thighs and legs, and he took his stance in such a way that this stranger could not throw him down. Jacob wrestled in a way with God, it says in verse 25, that God saw that he did not prevail with him. Evidently, Jacob was a very strong and good wrestler. God had come to wrestle with him, and yet Jacob prevailed. Well, we should ask ourselves this morning, what is it that was good in Jacob's wrestling? I went to a website to seek out what it is that wrestlers focus on in order to win. These are some of the tips that I found on one website. Don't be afraid to lose, first of all. Have an offensive philosophy going in and constantly use a proper attack. Secondly, make your opponent wrestle your style. Force the match and keep him off balance by attacking first and continuously. Thirdly, if you have reach or speed or balance on a man, use these to your advantage. Mix them up in your attack. The odds favor you. Fourthly, if you are stronger, overpower him. If you are weaker, don't fight his strength, but instead concentrate on perfect technique. This man says, technique will win over strength nearly every time. Fifthly, if you are in better shape, set a pace he can't stand, but don't do all the work. Make him lift your weight every time possible. Sixthly, keep a cool head and remain poised and confident. Never allow calls by the referee or actions by your opponent or the fans to upset your wrestling attitude or technique. Never make the referee mad at you. Never stop wrestling until the whistle blows. Man, I tell you, I thought it was great. I went to this site and I thought, I can't believe that all these things are really on here like this. He says, this includes not giving up a defensive move until the referee calls the points. Remember, creating a stalemate is better than giving up a point. These tips that I got, they're the thoughts of Bruce Gabrielson, the head coach of the Southern Maryland Wrestling Club. And Jacob obviously had not read these. But I think he must have employed at least some of them in his match with this man, Angel. I don't think that Jacob was afraid to lose to this man. Neither should we be afraid to lose to God. He is our superior in every way. In wisdom and in strength, Jacob tried to make God wrestle his style. And God, in turn, wrestled with Jacob according to Jacob's style. He acknowledged Jacob's fleshly abilities, but then he knew that he had given Jacob all of his fleshly abilities, all the gifts and abilities that he had. He would teach Jacob according to these abilities. And he would redirect their energies in the right way by his own pretending for a time to be weaker than Jacob. Do you know that God does that with you, dearly beloved? When you wrestle with God, God will wrestle your style. He will wrestle you according to the way that you think, according to the way you live, according to your stance, and according to your moves. He has given you all of these good things. All these abilities that you have, all of the fleshly ability to prevail with men, if you have it. Jacob had that natural ability. But the Lord was pretending to be overcome by him. Jacob must be humbled. He must be taught in all of this. So he's going to allow Jacob to prevail with him. He's truly physically wrestling with him. And Jacob is prevailing. I'm sure that Jacob used all the wrestling ability that he had with God in this contest. His reach, his speed, his balance were all good. And so is the Christian who makes haste to keep all of God's commandments. The person who is always thinking of God's thinking about them. Do you think that way? Do you think about God, the fact that God is thinking about you? And you are thinking about Him, and this is what the wrestling contest is all about. Our relationship with God is in this way. It is a match of wits. It is our mind with His mind. He watches all of our moves. We are no contest for Him, obviously. But when we come to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we wrestle through the many situations of what should I do next? What should I do next in my reaction to other people? What should I do next in the plans that I have for my life? What should I do next in the way that I respond to this person who is distressing me in my life? What should I do next? But you see, what God wants you to focus on is this. He wants you to understand that you're wrestling with Him, first of all. And that's really where the action is. Wrestling with God in this way. And Jacob took this stance, developed his moves accordingly. His technique was to get in close to his opponent and try to pin him down. But God will refuse to be pinned down by us every time when we wrestle with Him. We may think that we have stronger reasons than God does for living and thinking and doing the things that we are doing. But if there is sin in any of these moves of ours, if there is sin in any of our attitudes and thoughts and the way that we are living our life, God will ferret it out. Sometimes the things that we are strongest in, our physical, fleshly nature, are a great hindrance to our faith and full obedience to Christ. Sometimes the things that we're strongest in are the very thing that prevents us from understanding our dealings with God Himself and coming to faith and full obedience to Christ. We may be strong. We may be quick. We may have all the right moves, but we have not learned the right way to prevail with God. And we think that we have to steal the blessings of God or trick other people into giving us what we want. More than what God wants for us. And that must change. God knows something must change in us if we are to be holy. It is obvious that Jacob was in good physical shape. And he set a good pace with this man. He made the Lord lift his weight and bear his burden. The Lord does this, as I mentioned in Sunday school. The Lord bears all of our burdens. He lifts our weight. He wrestles with us through the issues. But we don't understand. He patiently wrestles through the issues of our life and our faith and our obedience with Him and to Him until the break of day, says here in the text. Until the break of day. He patiently perseveres with us until he's satisfied that his own way and likeness is formed in us. And this is how he lets us win. Jacob kept a cool head and he didn't stop wrestling until the whistle blew. That is, until the light of dawn came. And even so, we must continue to wrestle through the great issues of our obedience and our deliverance from the fear of men until the light of Christ's grace and truth convinces us of whether we will receive a blessing from God or not. It's not as though that Jacob was any real match for the Almighty, was he? Not any match for the pre-incarnate Christ. This is evident by the fact that in verse 25 it says further, now when the Lord saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He's showing Jacob that he could have easily defeated him at any given time. And you know something, the Lord will do this in your own life. As you are wrestling with him, it will seem to be that you are prevailing, and he'll do something, and he'll just put your whole hip out of joint, and your mind will think, how can I wrestle now? Because if a person is wrestling, it's all right here. That's where it all is. It's in the takedown, in the center of balance, and all the rest of it. It's right in the socket of the thigh. And the Lord, as he wrestled with Jacob, he touched him. He just simply touched him in the socket of his thigh, and the socket of his thigh was dislocated. And Jacob had to learn an entirely different kind of wrestling that day than what he was used to before then. I love what Calvin says about this. He says, for we do not fight against him, that is, God, when we wrestle against him, For we do not fight against him except by his own power, with his own weapons. For he, having challenged us to this contest, at the same time furnishes us with means of resistance, so that he both fights against us and for us. Isn't that incredible? That's what God does with us when we're wrestling with him. He both fights against us and for us. In short, Calvin says, such is his apportioning of this conflict, that while he assails us with one hand, he defends us with the other. Yea, inasmuch as he supplies us with more strength to resist than he employs in opposing us, we may truly and properly say that he fights against us with his left hand and for us with his right hand. Oh man, is that good. He says it is true that he remains at perfect unity with himself, that is God. But the double method in which he deals with us cannot be otherwise expressed than in striking us with a human rod. He does not put forth his full strength in the temptation, but that in granting the victory to our faith, he becomes in us stronger than the power by which he opposes us. Now that is truly an amazing thing. God is opposing us in regard to our sinfulness. That is the thing he wants to change. But by his grace, he is working for us. And that's this kind of wrestling, this peculiar kind of wrestling that I'm talking about here this morning. Calvin says a little further on, he says, and truly I confess, he says that this differs from common conflicts and requires beyond all others a rare, even heroic strength. And this was Jacob when he was wrestling with God. And so thirdly, the third technique which Jacob teaches us in wrestling with God is perseverance until we have the blessing. Verses 26 to 28. Never stop wrestling until the whistle blows, says Bruce Gabrielson. We could say here, never stop wrestling until you have obtained the blessing that you seek. That is often what is wrong with us as Christians. Is that we pray a little here, a little there, but we do not persevere with God in prayer to continue to seek the blessing until he gives it to us. In verse 26, the pre-incarnate Christ says to Jacob, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go. This is Jacob's words. I will not let you go until and unless you bless me. We have to remember that the Lord, when he saw that he didn't prevail over Jacob, that he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and dislocated it. And even though it was so, and Jacob must have been weakened and in pain, he continues to wrestle with this angel. We receive further revelation of this truth in Hosea chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, if you want to turn over there with me. Hosea chapter 12 and verses 3 and 4. Hosea is right after the book of Daniel, the Old Testament. Hosea 12. And it says this. It says, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, speaking of Jacob. And in his strength he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel. There he spoke to us. Now, there's something here that isn't in the other accounts in Scripture. You know what that is? It is that phrase that says, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. You don't read of that in Genesis 32. You do read of him seeking his favor, but you don't read about him weeping. Now, I believe the weeping came when his thigh was dislocated. And Jacob had to assume a different kind of wrestling than he had done before. He didn't have his natural strength to keep himself from being thrown down. You know what he did? He held him. He held the Lord. He wrestled with him, holding him. And he would not let him go. I will not let you go until you bless me. Bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me. He wept and he sought his favor. He was weeping. He now knew who the greater was in the contest. It was the Lord who was greater than he, and yet the Lord was letting him prevail. But the way that he prevailed was when he wept, when he saw his own weakness, when he prayed and sought his favor, when he knew that the answer wouldn't come in his own cleverness, in his own strength, in his own natural ability, in his own determination to win this contest. He's saying, bless me, I won't let you go unless you bless me. He struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us, that is, the Lord of hosts, the Lord is his memorial name. And look what it says after that. It says in verse 6, so you, by the help of your God, return. In other words, he's using Jacob's wrestling and the way that Jacob wrestled is as an application to you who sit listening to me here this morning. This is how you return, by the help of your God. Observe mercy and justice and wait on your God continually, it says. Jacob understood the principle of now how he could face, how he could now face all of his fears of Esau. It wouldn't be by being strong in himself, in the cleverness of his wrestling techniques. It would be by seeing that when he was weak in himself, that is when he was strong. And that is the principle that you and I must learn in our wrestling as well. God has given us all of the abilities that we have, all the strengths that we have, and we are all too prone to trust in that rather than in weeping and seeking God's favor because we realize our own sinful weaknesses. We need to be overcome by God, but He's willing to be prevailed upon so that we'll prevail over Him. In prayer, He's fighting against us with the one hand and defending us and helping us on the other. That's how God is with us in our sanctification. It would be God Himself who would help him, just like it says here. So you, by the help of your God, return. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Is there any relationship? Let's get more personal about this. Is there any relationship that is too difficult for the Lord? Jacob thought it was with Esau. He says, I'm distressed. I am greatly afraid. How is he going to see something change? By weeping and seeking God's favor. Not by wrestling to prevail with his own natural strength. But the Lord let him prevail. You see, he would cling to the Lord Jesus, would hold fast to him, wrestling with him in prayer until he did prevail, and he still had enough strength to do that. You know, God will still give you enough strength to wrestle with him and to prevail, even if there's some grave weakness in your physical being. Jacob did see Christ's favor. He is the Lord God. The Lord Jesus Christ is his memorial name to us. It's the name that we call upon to save us and to help us when we pray. And what is the outcome? So you, by the help of your God, return and observe mercy and justice and wait on your God continually. Wait on your God continually. Let us all resolve to do this very thing in the times of distress and difficulty with other people. With the help of our God, we will be able to observe mercy. We'll be able to do justly. Without Him, we can do nothing. But we must learn to wait upon Him. Blessed is the one who waits upon Him. Blessed is the one who weeps before Him. He takes all of your tears and He puts them in His bottle, it says in the Psalms. Are they not in His book? The book that He writes things down in? All the while that we're confessing His great ability to forgive us and to grant us repentance and restoration to the very person or persons which we find we cannot get along with, or people that are against us. You see, what we do is we come to the place where we see that our battle is not with other people, that our wrestling is with God. And when we see that, it produces a very blessed, a very gracious, and a very long-lasting change in our lives. And then, briefly, lastly, the fourth godly technique of Jacob's wrestling that we can emulate relates to our attitude in winning. What do you do when you win? What's your attitude when you prevail with God? Verses 28 to 32. Jacob's given a new name because he persevered in wrestling. No longer your name's going to be Tricky One, Supplanter. Your name is going to be Israel. You are a prince with God and you have prevailed. You see, it's like Thomas Scott says in his commentary, the Lord knighted Jacob in the field. It's like he took his sword out, put him on each shoulder and says, you see, now you're a prince with God because you've wrestled with God and you have prevailed. As a prince with God and with men, you have struggled and prevailed. So the sentence would read. It's a very princely thing to wrestle with God, as you can see. It is easy, according to our sinful nature, to draw back and not to wrestle with God. What's the use, we think? God's stronger than we are anyway, but the Lord Jesus Christ struggled through life in obedience to God to get to the cross so that sinful Jacob could be forgiven of his sins and learn the way of humble obedience and be renamed Prince of God. You see, if Jesus Christ is willing to do that for you, and He is, if you're believing in Him, then you also ought to be willing to wrestle with Him through the great issues of your life. This is the way to learn humble obedience. This is what God does with all of His true children. When they persevere in their faith and learn to overcome their sinful weaknesses, Revelation 3:12 says, He who overcomes, I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. I will write on him my new name. And to Peter, Jesus changed his name. He says to him, no longer you'll be Cephas, but you'll be Peter. And Saul's name is changed to Paul when he's converted. And the direction of his life changed. What about you? What is your greatest strength? What are your greatest gifts? Do you use them in a right way to love and to serve God and others and to promote God's glory? Or do you use them in a selfish way to wrestle with God and with men to get what you want in any given situation? This is why God comes and wrestles with us. And even though Jacob prevailed with God, he most certainly had the right attitude. It's one of joy and humility and awe. You notice that after the Lord asked him what his name was, and he had renamed him, that Jacob asked what the Lord's name was. I think he thought, well, this is just, we're going to exchange names here. I'd kind of like to know your name. You know? Because I think he suspected that this was God that he was wrestling with. And the Lord says to him, why is it that you ask about my name? You know, before Samson was born, Manoah and his wife had a vision from an angel who was just like this. And he said to them when they asked him his name, he says, why do you ask me my name, seeing that it is beautiful? Seeing that it is wonderful. You see? And he never told them. But it says, then he blessed him there. You see, you don't even need to understand the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be blessed by him. Jacob never did hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ from the lips of the angel who wrestled with him. But he knew who he was wrestling with. He was wrestling with God. And it led to Jacob's humble resolve to ask no more of this angel. No more of God. For he knew that it was God whom he wrestled with. And you notice that the name that Jacob calls the place is Peniel. He didn't name the place Israel. I have wrestled with God and prevailed. He named the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. You see, that's humility. That's humble thankfulness. And that's the way that you and I should see God and victory when we prevail with God in wrestling with Him. We obtain the victory. It ought to lead to humble thankfulness. You know, these victories that I'm talking about are going to cost us something. They're going to cost us something just as it cost Jacob. It says, as the sun rose on him, he limped on his hip. And we have to ask ourselves here as we close this sermon, who prevailed with who here? Who prevailed with who here? The angel said, you have prevailed with God and men. Jacob says, I've seen the face of God and my life has been preserved. It's always God who prevails with us. But he graciously lets us have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this wrestling of Jacob's with your Son, our dear Lord Jesus. For we know the name now of the one who wrestled with Jacob. And we pray, Father, that as we wrestle with you through the issues of our lives, that we would understand the godly techniques that we have learned here today. Help us, Father, to realize that it's just you and us, that the issues of our life are ultimately just you and us, alone wrestling through them, and yet it's enough. And you teach us so many good things, and you wrestle with us according to all that you've given to us. And yet you fighting against us on the one hand and helping us with the other hand. What a peculiar kind of wrestling it is, and yet you let us prevail. And yet you let us prevail because of the grace of Christ. Help us to see this truth today. Help us, may it lead us to humility and humble thankfulness and awe of you. May we not be unwilling to wrestle with you, but may we wrestle with you and prevail, even as Jacob did. So we pray in Jesus' name, amen.